And we really are trying to find new ways to connect the dots, or at least, I guess, I don't know if I'm going to try this out for the first time, to share dots that have already been connected. That's another thing that we're trying to push, is how do we share information. I'm going to correlate information as part of the agency that I work with. How am I going to share that with Dirk's agency? So how are we going to keep that information moving back and forth without necessarily rebuilding everything every time?
Dirk?
Yeah, I think what we're finding is that each agency or department, in the case of where Paul's talking from, sort of has their own view on the data, certainly, that they own and or manage and exploit. And what we're trying to do is, how do you harmonize that knowledge from one agency and or department across to another department effectively, and how do you do it quickly, particularly in a time-sensitive situation?
So let's then jump over to the data aggregation working group. What are you actually doing? You guys put out an RFI recently asking industry for help around an architecture. Give me a sense of what your goals are. Start with Dirk.
The point of the working group is to coalesce fundamentally lessons learned and best practices from across the U.S. government national security space and private industry as they have bearing on this problem we're talking about right here, this entity correlation across the whole of government space. The RFI is the latest, most refined incarnation of that. This working group has been working now for 3 years or so. We've issued 2 reports. We've done a couple pilots that Paul has been running. And the RFI is our first attempt to glean from industry that are actually providers of these of entity resolution technologies and implementers of those technologies from across industry, get their insights into lessons learned on previous implementations of these things, either in the government or elsewhere. I mean, clearly health sector, financial sector have big uses of these technologies as well. And we're just looking for ways to accelerate the innovation in the government space using those experiences.
No. Dirk, let me go back to you for a sec, because one of the things you said was tradecraft around entity resolution domain. Can you help define that? Because I think for a lot of people that are outside of the law enforcement community or the intelligence community, they're going, what is that?
So entity resolution basically is when you have disparate pieces of information that relate to the same entity, whether it's a person, place, or thing. And so it's a way for agencies to really collapse down from this big data environment, multiple disparate pieces of information that either do or do not relate to a particular entity, and to call it a day when you actually have done that.
How does it happen now? Can you give me an example?
Yeah, it happens in a disparate number of ways. Different agencies with different technologies, different experiences do it differently. They have different processes and so forth, but they all are looking to do the same thing fundamentally. And again, back to the primary use case here on preventing a terrorism event, what we're trying to do is to get the expertise and the value add from any agency that has its best thinking together in terms of what it believes are correlated entities that may have a nexus to this emergent event, and being able to share that rapidly across the U.S. government space to see if anybody else has pointers that would actually confirm or deny that same entity.
So let's talk about, you guys have been around for a couple of years now, a couple of pilots. Paul, can you talk a little bit about those pilots and what they entailed?
So we took a look at a couple of information exchanges that went across agency boundaries that existed. We did 2 pilots, used NEAM actually, just built more consistency in the construct of how that information exchange took place, as well as there were some soft benefits there where we brought stakeholders to the table that had never talked before and really tried to talk through the process of exchanging data. How do we create consistency? How do we improve quality? How do we improve timeliness in the exchanges? And we codified that for those specific instances of the exchange, which I won't get into here, but we also created a toolkit, which is on the PMIC website, for people who are interested in doing the same kinds of exchange. How do I select an exchange that might be a good candidate for improvement? How do I go through the process of actually trying to improve that exchange? So we felt they were really, really successful. I think the second time around, we used our own toolkit, and it worked, but we also really took a hard look at the mission value. How is the mission going to specifically benefit from this effort? And so we added that feedback back into the toolkit and actually improved the toolkit to say, we can do information exchange improvements all day long, but we really got to pick the ones that have mission impact and mission value. And I feel like we do a really good job of trying to make sure that what we're doing is not just another paperwork exercise, but it's really going to have an impact to the government space. And we're working on the data aggregation reference architecture, and I've just spent 2 weeks discussing how does this have meaning and not just become another piece of documentation or shelfware. How do we really make a difference here in the space? And I think the RFI plays a part of that too. You know, we're trying to engage industry to help us understand what the real problem sets are, and we're trying to really determine what those look like. And and then come up with solutions to improve those and fix those.
Are you able to offer any more details around the pilot? Are you able to talk a little bit about, hey, we applied this approach to this problem, and this is what we got?
The first pilot, what we did is we said Organization A was sending information to two different organizations, and that information was not being sent in a consistent format. In other words, you might have a first name being sent over 1 month, and then the next month it was being sent over as the word name. So somebody who's expecting to see first name and gets name or F name or F underscore name or whatever it was that week or that month, you know, humans can deal with that okay. Machines can't deal with that at all. So I think the first thing we did was we said, well, let's create some structure around this. And that's where NEAM really helped out. I said, let's make sure we're absolutely NEAM conformant when we send this thing over. And so we tried to, we worked to really, really standardize that format, just the formatting of that language to make sure that the formatting was accurate. And by doing so, we also had some data quality improvements. We realized that there were some of the columns that would be sent over on 1 month were there 1 month and weren't there the next, or they were switching around. So it just created rigor through the process. We also found a way to, because of the consistency, by sending that in a, get a little technical, an XML schema format, the machines that were pulling that information into the other systems could do so much more rapidly. So we found a huge time savings on the consuming end. Now, we were able to test this out a couple of times. We never really implemented it fully. When it came time to actually do production work, we got a little stuck. So, but it was still a good lesson learned, and that was the intent of the pilot. So we did achieve our goal. In the second year, we said, all right, we did a good thing the first year. Now we really have to have a mission impact. So how do we take those same principles and deliver something that's going to impact the mission? And so we focused on a round-trip loop. And said, if I send this information is being sent across to another agency, if we can fix just a little bit of internal processing on that end, we can actually add to that information and then send that information back to the originating agency and provide them value from a business perspective with additional information to make a better decision, a better counterterrorism decision. And so we were able to actually impact both the information going out and the information coming back. And that is just about ready to be put into production. So that's a real change that we've made with these pilots. So again, we updated the toolkit. We showed that we could do a process improvement. But the real benefit was that there was a huge mission impact. This one was purely mission driven. So we were very excited about that.
The reference architecture, which you've mentioned a couple of times, and the RFI, that is now taking not just this one model, but trying to broaden it. Is that the way I understand that correctly, Paul?
I think a good way of looking at that would be to say that we're able to prove out that certain kinds of improvements definitely fix certain kinds of exchanges, but we don't want to do those necessarily in a point-to-point fashion. So we're taking those same principles that we applied there, and we're taking the findings and the things that we learned from those experiences, and we're really trying to put those into the framework and into the reference architecture so we can start moving less of a point-to-point, more of a multi-point or a federated type of architecture. To me, that's the big next evolution of these activities. I think you still have to fix a lot of the existing connections that are point-to-point, but now we're trying to move it into the next maturity level, which is how can we just do this from perhaps a services perspective, or, again, me bringing my data to the edge so that it's ready for anybody to come and grab if they need it.
A lot of times people hear the word architecture, and I've covered enterprise architecture over the years, and people get really glassy-eyed when you talk about it. But really what this is a how-to guide in many respects.
So it is a data aggregation reference architecture. Well, which means we're primarily focusing on data aggregation systems. So those systems like Dirk was talking about that do the consolidation of information, that do correlation. There is a specific niche, as he was saying, of systems that we're talking about. By focusing on data aggregation systems, what we want to do is we want to build out an environment where these systems are available and ready to talk to each other in this format that we've been discussing. The first step of doing that, though, is understanding where we are today. And part of the reference architecture is helping people figure out where they are from a maturity perspective as far as those systems in particular go. And then we're also in this reference architecture sort of building out a vision and saying this is really where we want to go. We know it's going to take a while to get there, but we're trying to also help people. We want this to be, again, a tool where people can go through a reference architecture, and rather than having, you know, why am I using this document, those kinds of questions, we want them to have a clear understanding that at the end of this, they'll have a understanding of where their system is. They'll have an idea of where they could take their system, but at least they'll do it in the right direction of where the whole of government's going. And I think that's really what we're after with this reference architecture.
Dirk, he said, as is to be, all the good architecture words. Break it down for us a little deeper.
We're not under any preconceived notion that all the answers are going to be well thought out, well defined when we release this reference architecture. In fact, we think there are going to be some data standard gaps, because we don't believe this is actually happening today what we're talking about. And so part of the reference architecture is sort of a call to action for the community writ large to stand up and actually fill those gaps with standards that will work and that will optimize these tremendous investments that have been made across these different departments and agencies to actually enable this type of interoperability, this type of sharing. This is not an academic exercise like you say, the as-is and the to-be. This is an exercise on how do we operationalize and extract the best value on these investments in these niche domains that are very significant across the U.S. government space and make them much more effective through just adoption of standards and pushing data to the edge.